It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Thank you for listening. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. And thank you to the team I work with. That's producer Steve, producer Luke, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, Echo, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And it is Memorial Day. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent essays. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. For this Memorial Day, we've pre-recorded this and very pleased to have on the line with me Scott Powell. He is a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute and has written a very important book, Rediscovering America, How the National Holidays Tell an Amazing Story About Who We Are. And on Memorial Day, it's important that we stop and remember those that have given their lives their last full measure of devotion so that we can live in freedom. Of course, we're seeing our freedoms being chipped away at by public policy, but that's why we need to understand our holidays and reclaim our great American heritage. Scott Powell, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. Great to be with you.
So let's talk about Memorial Day.
Yeah, I'd love to. It is a more interesting holiday than most people realize. It isn't just a holiday to remember and commemorate those who gave their lives for America, but it's also Memorial Day was founded on biblical ideals of forgiveness and reconciliation shortly after America's most divisive and bloody conflict, the Civil War. The Civil War went for 4 years from 1861 to 1865, and what was incredible about the Civil War is that it was the most costly conflict that America's ever experienced. It cost at least 620,000 men lost. Some historians put the number up to close to 700,000. And those are more casualties. Even at 620,000, that represents more casualties than all of America's other wars combined. The two world wars, the Korean and Vietnamese wars, and the Middle East wars. Now, we go back to the Civil War. The country was mercilessly divided at that time. And most people thought reconciliation was an impossibility. And yet, it happened because of the humble and virtuous actions that emanated from the South. The vanquished were, of course, the Confederate States. They lost the war to the victorious North. But it happened that there were really two events that are thought to be the origin of Memorial Day. And one took place on April 25th, 1866, which is about 1 year after the war ended. And there was a former chaplain in the Confederate Army, and he accompanied a group of women from Columbus, Mississippi, to Friendship Cemetery, which was the burial ground for about 1,600 men who died in the Battle of Shiloh, one of the more famous battles. And their purpose in going was to honor the dead with decorations of flowers. Now, at that time, Columbus, like the rest of the South, was occupied by Union Army forces. And many townspeople were fearful that, you know, that of a new animosity. You know, occupation is never it can be a time when people make peace with the occupier and work towards the future where there will be no occupying force, but it's a time of tension generally. And people were concerned that the women going to decorate the graves would show favoritism to their fallen Confederate soldiers. But these Columbus women, had no such intention, and despite their knowing that the Union really treated the Confederate casualties rather cavalierly. Many of the Confederates were thrown into mass graves. There were so many deaths in the Civil War that burial of people was difficult. And so the Confederates that died in the Union areas like Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia. Virginia, of course, was a Confederate state, so it would be more in the Pennsylvania, Maryland, and there were big battles there. The Battle of Antietam, Gettysburg, of course. There were mass graves for Confederates, but not for the Union soldiers. They were taken care of, and each one was giving it his own burial plot. So knowing this, the Confederate folks might have had ill will, and yet when they went to decorate the graves, they treated the Union soldiers equally. They distributed flowers on the graves equally, both Union and Confederate. And at that time, the New York Herald saw that as rather significant, and they actually editorialized, saying that the women of Columbus, Mississippi, have shown themselves impartial in their offerings to the memory of the dead, strewing flowers alike on the graves of Confederate and Union soldiers. So it was a significant, very, very significant. And that was part of this beginning of this holiday of reconciliation, is really what Memorial Day was. Now, there was a second claimant for originating Decoration Day, and that took place on Belle Isle, which happened to be, it's a small island off in the James River off Richmond, which was the capital of the Confederacy. And a few days after the Friendship Cemetery, this was a separate, and there was no connection, but they were there was a group of women there that had the same heart on this anniversary of the war, of the ending of the war, to place bouquets of flowers on the graves of Union soldiers. And those were the only soldiers buried on Belle Isle, because that was where there was a Union prison camp, a war prison camp. And so those that died were buried there. And they went to decorate, these Confederate women, if you will, went to decorate all the Union grave sites on Belle Isle. So it was another expression of, we respect you, we forgive you, and we want to reconcile. So the beginning of Memorial Day has really deep spiritual meaning, and it's particularly apropos for the times in which we're now living, where we're a very divided country, and there really doesn't seem to be many venues for reconciliation. So perhaps people can reflect on the real meaning of the beginning of Memorial Day over this weekend, because we need that. We need reconciliation in order for our country to make progress.
Oh, that is such an important point. I'm talking with Scott Powell, and he is a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute. And I did want to mention the Center for American Values, which is located right here in Pueblo, Colorado. You can find them at AmericanValueCenter.org. And they're focused on three things, and that is honor, integrity, and patriotism. And they've put together a number of educational programs for public school, homeschool, and just great different online courses on that. You can get more information by going to AmericanValueCenter.org. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. They are open 6 days a week, 7 days a week, and would highly recommend that you check out their Portraits of Valor as well. It is an extraordinary collection of portraits and documentation of more than 160 Congressional Medal of Honor recipients. It is a powerful example of the self-sacrifice one segment of our society has made to protect the freedoms that we all enjoy. And it says the portraits include four Medal of Honor recipients from Pueblo, including Center visionary and co-founder Drew Dix. The other co-founder is Brad Padula. And during his presentation of the medal to Pueblo native Raymond G. Murphy, President Dwight D. Eisenhower commented, "What is it in the water out there in Pueblo? All you guys turn out to be heroes." And Pueblo is often referred to as the home of heroes. So again, more information, go to AmericanValueCenter.org. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. And I am just blessed to work with amazing sponsors. Roger Mangan, State Farm Insurance Agent, Memorial Day. It's such an important holiday. It's more than furniture sales or barbecues, but it's a day to remember those that have given their lives for our freedom. It's such an important day to me. What about you?
Well, that's for sure. My father was in the Marine Corps and in World War II, and was in a lot of gruesome situations like most of the people of that generation. And when I think about just getting out of bed in the morning and not having to worry about what is happening in, even though I do worry about it, what's happening in my world in terms of safety, I thank the Almighty Lord for what these young men, 17, 18, 19 years old, did when they stormed Normandy or Iwo Jima. We've got a lot to be thankful for. A lot of folks never came home. And, you know, I don't know how much people know about World War One or Two, but we fought battles on foreign land in order to give our next generation and after that generation an opportunity to be in a country that values individual freedom. And I thank the Lord for all of those sacrifices.
Well, and that's why it's important that we understand this. I did not know that about your father. So a Marine, I'm going to guess Pacific Theater?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which battles do you recall? I'm thinking maybe Guadalcanal, the early ones?
Tarawa. He was on Guadalcanal, the first major offensive in World War II for the Marines. So, yeah, he was there 3 years, came back, and he was in several platoons that pretty much got wiped out during his tenure in the war. He was lucky enough to have survived three different assignments in three different platoons. And, you know, a platoon has somewhere around 40 Marines in it, and when you lose all but two or three, and he was the lucky one that survived those two or three assignments, it's a miracle that I'm here.
It is a miracle. Oh, my gosh. I tell you, what a debt of gratitude. And that's why it's so important that we know these stories. What's your final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners, Roger?
Hey, see, I don't want to sound too corny here, but I'd get on my knees and say a prayer and thank all of our posterity for everything that they have done and that we are going to do for the next generation.
Roger Mangan, I totally agree with you, and Memorial Day is such a time to stop and reflect on that. And these shows come to you because of great sponsors like the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. You can reach them at 303-795-8855.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this. I actually talked to Roger Mangan, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. For personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mangan now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
Stay up to date on issues in public health and science by signing up and reading Dr. James Lyons Weiler's latest articles at Popular Rationalism on Substack. Find more information about Popular Rationalism at kimmunson.com.
It's Colorado. We want warm homes in the winter and cool, comfortable homes in the summer. Johnny Stubbs Services is the heating and air conditioning company to call to ensure that your heating and cooling systems run efficiently and last for years. Johnny Stubbs Services' team of experts provide proper guidance to help you make informed decisions about your heating and cooling needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Johnny Stubbs Services. Schedule your air conditioning check before summer arrives at johnnystubservices.com and receive a great gift. That's johnnystubservices.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Did want to mention a sponsor that's been a sponsor of both the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories for a long time, and that is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And it's a super interesting story about bureaucrats and politicians and free markets. And you can find that at my website, and it all stemmed from an experience that I had when I was on City Council of Lone Tree. But Hooters Restaurants is a great place to get together with friends to watch the games, as well as they have happy hour specials Monday through Friday, as well as lunch specials. So again, that whole story is at my website. On the line with me is Scott Powell. He is the author of Rediscovering America, How the National Holidays Tell an Amazing Story About Who We Are. Scott Powell, this book is a book that should be in every family's freedom library, hard copy, and each holiday, bring it out so that people understand our holidays. I think it would help significantly with the division that we're seeing in America today.
Oh, it absolutely would. One of the things we suffer from is just the decline of our educational system, particularly in the public schools, where young people really no longer learn about the virtuous history of the country in which they're citizens, in which they hope to make a future. And then we have the sort of the cultural revolution going on, which started way back probably in the 30s, of revisionist historians who wanted to rewrite history around a liberal narrative, and that has that trend has continued and become more extreme today with the 1619 Project and critical race theory, and these radical views of America are incorporated in a lot of public school education. So, I mean, the schools are actually doing harm, but it all can be countered by really getting immersed in the history of America, focusing on the key transitional periods. And the reason I wrote Rediscovering America was that I recognized that this could be a book, it could be short and concise, and could really acquaint the reader with the significance behind each of our holidays that just show the amazing virtue of you know, the people who came to America, the Pilgrims and the Puritans, the founders, and what they did and the struggles they went through. It wasn't just the Revolutionary War. You know, that was only the beginning. We, with God's help, we won that war against the most formidable military power in the world. That was Great Britain. It was almost an impossibility, and yet it happened. So I talk about that in the book, but then, you know, the book also, I added one additional holiday to the 11 holidays. We have 11 national holidays, and I cover each one of them and the significance of each one. I added one more holiday, and that's Constitution Day. Now, Constitution Day, and we can do that show in September, Kim, but just briefly, Constitution Day was established as a national observance holiday, and the idea was that schools, and those would be public schools, would suspend their teaching of normal curriculum on Constitution Day and devote the whole day to learning about the Constitution of America. I mean, if that's not a great holiday. So knowing that, I said, I've got to, you know, this is an important inclusion, and it's really, one could argue, it's the most important chapter in the book, because it explains how the Constitution came into being and why it is the most powerful governmental document ever created, how it does something that no other country ever achieved, and that was to form a government that would have its as its primary role, the protection of the God-given unalienable rights of the citizens, that the citizens should be, their rights should be protected, and they should be empowered and be free to pursue their dreams, you know, to build. And indeed, America prospered and went from a poor society at the founding to the world number one economic superpower in less than 200 years. Because why? Not because the government did it, but because the American people were free to do it. And when you give people freedom and you give them and they can have the right incentives, they do amazing things. So
it's true.
The Constitution, you know, empowered the American people, and the people responded. And as our government has grown and our, you know, and come to be more of an administrative bureaucratic state that impinges on our freedom, we see that America is less dynamic economically.
Right. Hey, I was having a conversation recently with a young person, Scott, regarding this vision of America and the idea that we are all created equal because we are created in the image of God. And this had been an aha for me that, I mean, I don't know if it's the literal image of God, you know, two hands, two, you know, 2 feet, two legs. But what I really think it is that God is a creator. And then if we are created in the image of God, we are creators as well. And the opposite of creation is destruction. And so we have to figure out what side are we on in America. Are we on the side of creation, of people being creative and building things and solving problems? Or are we on the side that we see from the radical activist left, which is all about destruction? And so that was a big aha for me, Scott Powell.
Oh, and me too, and it should be for every American. This is not a struggle between political, you know, political ideologies or political parties, Democrats versus Republicans. It is a spiritual battle that we face. And on our side, we have people, we have a recognition that there is something called truth. There is a, you know, a fact-based reality. And when we live according to the truth, and that truth are the scientific truths, the economic truths, but perhaps most important, the spiritual truths, the truths that come from God and God's order. And God created that order in many societies, but it perhaps was best articulated in the Old Testament and of course, the New Testament, which is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, where it's explained God's design for our lives. And God wants us to be fulfilled, free, happy, creative, as you say, Kim. So we need to align our lives with what God has for us. And so when we do that, of course, there's no amount of law, no amount of regulation and administrative state that can, you know, that can stop corruption. What the greatest weapon we have, the greatest way of stopping corruption is that the vast majority of people recognize that God is seeing all their actions all the time. So you can't get away with anything. Even if you could get away with a crime or a lie or a deceit, which, you know, politics is just full. I mean, in the times in which we're living, we recognize that government isn't even governing anymore. It's covering up for, you know, for its sins of aggrandizing power and, you know, and doing all kinds of nefarious things that are really beyond belief. Why? Because apparently these folks have forgotten that God is watching them and that they will pay, even if they get away with their crime, they never get away with it with the Lord, because he sees it all and people will be held accountable.
Well, and so do you think that that's why the radical activist left wants to get rid of God, because then they don't want
any
accountability?
Of course, of course. I mean, there's a lesser reason, too, and we can see it in life. We've all experienced it when we see that people who kind of live lower lives, you know, they live in, let's just use the religious term, they live in sin. That sin is an ever-present part of their life. They want to bring other people down so that they feel less guilty. If they can bring everybody down to their standard, then they feel accepted, right?
But Scott,
because everyone's acting in the same ways. The same behaviors are accepted by everybody, and therefore they don't feel the guilt of being wrong.
So let's talk just a little bit about that, though, because there are those that they look at Christians, and they say, "Oh, holy rollers, you sin too," which is true. How do you match that up when you're talking with people?
Oh, well, the first thing I do with everyone is I remind them that we have this wonderful God, and He wants all of us to be fulfilled, to have meaning in our life and fulfillment, which brings about peace and joy. Now, if you could have that, wow, that would be pretty amazing, because living in this world, we all go through struggles. I mean, that's the way life is. There are tragedies, there are business failures, there's, we lose friends and family occasionally. We go through struggles. So how do we put a context into our life that can accommodate these painful things, and yet we maintain assurance that we are, that we have clarity about how we should live our lives and how we can go forward out of a tragedy, out of a loss, out of a divorce, and recover a very full life. God will do that for us when we start out with acknowledging our failures, our sin. We confess them. We ask God's forgiveness. And He forgives. Jesus Christ came to forgive all sinners. All that would recognize their sin and ask for forgiveness will be given forgiveness. Now, that's an amazing thing. So many people walk around with guilt over things that they've done or things they failed to do. Well, God will forgive you of everything. And you don't have to worry about, may I have to change my whole life? If I accept Christ and become a religious person, I have to go to church and I have to live a certain way. Don't worry about that. Bring Christ into your life. And if you're a smoker or a drinker, bring Christ into your behavior. Bring Him right in as you light up or as you take a drink. If you have a drinking problem, and if you do that every time, you will find maybe after a few weeks that you lose your taste for this very thing, because God is at work in your life. It is God's work that transforms us. It is not what we do ourselves. It is what God does within us when we invite Him in.
Well, that's so reassuring. It's so powerful, particularly as we think about Memorial Day here. I'm talking with Scott Powell. He is a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute. His book is Rediscovering America, How the National Holidays Tell an Amazing Story About Who We Are. And we have amazing sponsors, and one of those is Karen Levine.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance understands the importance of home ownership. Karen Levine works tirelessly at the local, county, state, and national levels to protect your private property rights. With nearly 30 years' experience as a Colorado realtor, Karen Levine will help you navigate the complicated metro real estate market, whether you're buying your home, selling your home, considering a new build, or exploring investment properties. Kim Munson highly recommends Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate needs.
Pain can be exhausting and frustrating, and Kim was recently experiencing hip pain from life's wear and tear. Dr. Craig Stimson with Advantage Wellness Center was able to help. For over 35 years, Dr. Craig Stimson has been helping individuals and their entire families with non-surgical and drugless treatments to address sports injuries, back and neck pain, headaches, joint pain, and auto accident injuries. Call Dr. Craig at 303-691-1771 today for your appointment. Dr. Craig Stimson, he can help you too. That number is 303-691-1771.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And did want to mention the USMC Memorial Foundation. They are raising money for the remodel of the Marine Memorial out at 6th and Colfax. And it is a very special place. It's a place of remembering and of healing, but it's time for a remodel, and you can help them out by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. That's usmcmemorialfoundation.org. On the line with me is Scott Powell. He's a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute and the author of the book Rediscovering America, How the National Holidays Tell an Amazing Story About Who We Are. This is an excellent gift for families, for students. I highly recommend that each family have this in their home, in their Freedom Library. And again, that is Rediscovering America, How the National Holidays Tell an Amazing Story About Who We Are. Scott Powell, it is Memorial Day, and you've given some given us some history on it was first Declaration Day, and then it was a time of reconciliation. What more should we know about Memorial Day?
Well, if listeners have just joined us, I guess I'd first just remind everyone that, you know, Memorial Day began as Decoration Day after the Civil War. The Civil War was the bloodiest war that America ever fought. It the number of deaths in the Civil War exceeded all the deaths of the other wars combined. That would include the two World Wars, the Korean War and the Vietnamese Wars and the Middle East Wars. The Civil War had more deaths than all the other wars combined. So it was a very traumatic period, and our country was was so divided. In spite of the war's staggering death toll, and I would add that the Confederates actually inflicted more casualties on the North than the Union did to the South by a pretty large margin. In other words, they were great fighters. Abraham Lincoln expressed no blame or bitterness toward the Confederacy. Remember, he was the one who did not accept the secession of the Southern states. The Civil War began over secession. It did not begin over slavery. And in his second inaugural address, Lincoln actually held both sides, the North and the South, accountable for this most costly war. So Memorial Day, you know, might be our most important holiday today in some ways, because it reminds us that the country paid more in deaths to reunite the nation and correct the offense of slavery than it paid for all the other causes for which the nation fought in its ensuing history. That's pretty powerful. Right. Memorial Day signifies that. Now, while Memorial, which became the holiday name of Decoration Day, remember the tradition began with decorating the grave sites of Union soldiers by Confederate women. It came to be known, and that was a commemoration to honor those lost while fighting the Civil War. Interestingly, its observance was very erratic, and it wasn't consistent for many years. And lo and behold, you know, time passes, and then the United States gets embroiled in World War One, World War Two, and World War One ends, and before we know it, you know, by the early 30s, the winds of war are blowing with the Nazi regime, and World War II ensued. And so the holiday evolved, actually, to commemorate the American military personnel who died in all the subsequent wars. And Memorial Day, just so you know the facts, Memorial Day finally became a national federal holiday in 1968. So it's a long time between the Civil War, sort of the beginning of Decoration Day and Memorial Day, and the actual recognition by the federal government to make this a national holiday. And it did so when it passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which was enacted to create three-day holiday weekends for federal employees, and establishing the date of the annual celebration for Memorial Day, which at that time it had been celebrated on May 30th, which actually coincided with the Decoration Day, the women decorating the graves on the Belle Isle in Richmond. That was actually May 30th that they did that. So they made it a floating holiday by making it, you know, the last Monday in May, so that it could always fall on fall on a Monday, creating a 3-day holiday, which I can get behind that. It's interesting how Veterans Day, the veterans felt so strongly that they wouldn't allow Veterans Day to float. So it's always on November 11th, whatever day that is Veterans Day. The act also combined Washington and Lincoln's birthday into President's Day and made Columbus Day a Monday holiday as well. Now, years later, when Martin Luther King Day was established as a national holiday, it was created and celebrated to come on the third day in January. So that's sort of how Memorial Day came into being.
Scott, I wanted to just mention something, and that is that at the time of the Civil War, there was about 31 million people in America. And so 620,000 people, that's a lot. But now we have about 10 times the population. So that would be the equivalent of 6.2 million people dying in a conflict. I think that's important for people to put that into context.
Oh, absolutely it is. Because we had no, I mean, World War II was the second bloodiest war. And I forget what the numbers were, but I believe it was in the 300,000s, 300,000s, some number in there. It's easy to look it up, of course. So you could look up, you know, the First World War, which was a fairly consequential war. We lost quite a few soldiers there, but it was exceeded by World War II's casualties by far.
So let me ask this question, because slavery, that seems to be front and center now. We hear about reparations and slavery. I was just recently back in Virginia at Monticello and Montpelier, and I see the language is changing from slaves to enslaved people. I think it's rather remarkable that, first of all, slavery was prevalent throughout the world at the founding of America. And if we have this idea that all men are created equal, that doesn't match up with slavery. But there was tension. There was tension as they were trying to figure out this ideal. But within, 70-plus years, this country goes to war and spills blood and treasure to answer the question whether or not one man could be property of another. And I think it's important that people think about that and understand that, Scott.
Absolutely. Let me address that. You know, Americans were unique in sacrificing their treasure and lives to found the first country in history establishing that all people have natural rights. That's all people. That's blacks, whites, Hispanics. All people are equal that way. They have natural rights that come from God rather than the rulers or government. And the Declaration of Independence affirmed the equality of all people. It was self-evident that all people were equal right there in the Declaration. Now, and that was written largely by Thomas Jefferson. He was a slaveholder at that time. So how do we reconcile that? Well, the reality is that, it took ultimately nearly 200 years for the entire vision that Jefferson cast of the equality, the self-evident equality that we were equal in equal value in God's eyes. Civil War didn't fully solve it. It freed the slaves, and black people were given voting rights. But then there was the black laws and the Jim Crow laws, and even the Supreme Court in Plessy versus Ferguson decision of 1893, almost 30 years after the Civil War, reaffirmed that that people lived. They were equal, but they lived separately. It was separate but equal. In other words, the Supreme Court legitimized discrimination and segregation, right? Yes, that was Plessy Ferguson. That was a blemish in our legal history. But my point is that it takes time. And so, you know, God never stops working through people to realize his ideal. So, you know, God raised up a leader, Martin Luther King, who created a civil rights movement that went on from 1955 to really the late 60s, and he gave his life for the cause. He went to jail 29 times, which is also a fascinating chapter, Martin Luther King Day in Rediscovering America. But he got it done. The civil rights movement was successful, and there were 12 laws passed by Congress during and after the civil rights movement. So minority people, and it isn't just blacks, we're a multi-ethnic country, but there are no barriers to opportunity in America, to property ownership, to business formation, to employment. There are to be no barriers at all, and that's codified in our laws. Our civil rights laws codify that, and so great progress was made, and it is really the enemies of America, and they are internal as well as external. They want to revive the racial division issue to bring our nation down. That should be so clear to everybody, and it's a shame that more people don't just reject this agenda outright, because it's done already. It just, as Jesus said, it is finished on the cross. You could almost say with the civil rights movement, it is finished. The vision cast by Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration was fulfilled. And, just because it took nearly 200 years for that entire vision to be fully realized, it doesn't diminish the founding based on those ideals. Thus, when Americans sacrifice their lives in military service, we should remember that it was not just to defend the United States, but it was also to uphold the natural rights and moral values associated with the nation's founding that provide inspiration for us. We're reminded through this holiday that we have this amazing heritage, and yes, we had to go through struggles. It was really 200 years before the civil rights movement really established this fullness of equality. But it was established. Why would we turn the clock back? Why would we pick the wound? The dried blood on the wound. Why would we open that up again? That's a fool's errand, and every American should understand that. And when you talk to most black people, and minorities for that matter, and you ask them about how they feel about, do they feel that we have a racist country? Most will say, no, we really don't. It's a narrative that's been imposed on us. We feel, and smart people know that compared with other nations, America probably has some of the best race relations in the world. At least it did prior to, the critical race theory crowd and the 1619 Project crowd, which fueled the Black Lives Matter movement, which is a Marxist movement, by the way. That's verifiable. That's right in the founding documents of Black Lives Matter, that they believe in a Marxist vision for America.
So. Well, and that's why we need to understand our holidays, and in particular Memorial Day. Blacks, Hispanics, Japanese, whites, you name it, all have given red blood for this country. They've given that last full measure of devotion. That's why we're talking about Memorial Day. And our guest is Scott Powell. He is a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute. His book is Rediscovering America, How the National Holidays Tell an Amazing Story About Who We Are. And the show comes to you because of great sponsors. One of those is Roots Medical, and they are also very involved with Colorado Healthcare Providers for Freedom.
Hey folks, Matthew Dark here with exciting news about COVID justice and how you can be involved in this critical moment in history. Colorado Healthcare Providers for Freedom, in conjunction with COVIDpenalty.com, is leading the way in protecting everyone's legal right to refuse an investigational new drug. There is no law that can force you to participate in medical research, and we need your help in bringing these lawsuits to fruition. To donate and view impending lawsuits, visit ColoradoMedicalFreedom.com. That's ColoradoMedicalFreedom.com.
Knowledge is power. A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all your questions are answered. With nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Kim Munson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at Kim at KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice on an independent station searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And we've pre-recorded this show with Scott Powell for Memorial Day. And Memorial Day is a day to stop and reflect for those that have given their lives, their last full measure of devotion, so that we may live in liberty. And I encourage all of us to just stop sometime during Memorial Day and just reflect upon that. Scott Powell, again, he's the senior fellow at the Discovery Institute. This book, Rediscovering America, How the National Holidays Tell an Amazing Story About Who We Are. This is a great gift for students, just a super gift for students. But Scott Powell, this is our final segment. And those that want to tear down America will not acknowledge the uniqueness of the American idea. What would you say to that?
Well, let's see the big picture. You know, there were times and places in human history when there were nation states of cultural achievement, virtue, efflorescence, such as Periclean Athens, in the Florence of the Medicis, and in England of Elizabeth and Shakespeare. But none of these great cultures and countries were founded the way that America was. America was founded by a collection of the nation's most learned statesmen who were well-versed in the classics of law, political philosophy, biblical understanding, and they prayerfully approached drafting the Declaration of Independence in 1776 and then the U.S. Constitution in 1787. And the Constitution provided a charter for an unprecedented arrangement of governmental institutions designed to mitigate corruption and abuse of power while also protecting citizens' unalienable God-given rights. The Bill of Rights, an integral part of that Constitution, enables us to rise to levels closer to the divine image in which we're all created than we would under any other government previously conceived. That is amazing. That's profound. So let's move it up here to the Puritans who came in 1630, and they came under the charter of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, sponsorship from the British. They had no idea what independence in the future of American government would look like a century and a half later. Their leader and future governor, John Winthrop, had a vision taken from Scripture, Matthew 5:14-16, asserting that they were to be an example for the rest of the world in rightful living. Upon leaving England and before arriving in Massachusetts aboard his ship, Winthrop declared to his people their purpose quite clearly: "We shall be as a city on a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us." And the governing guidelines for that city would in part turn out to be the Constitution, which became one of America's most important exports to the rest of the world. Writing about the benefits of the Constitution, let's see what Thomas Jefferson has to say. He said, and I quote him, "We feel that we are acting under obligations not confined to the limits of our own society. It is impossible not to be sensible that we are acting for all mankind." And in only two centuries since that time, almost every nation has come to accept the need and the value of having a constitution regarding their differences in culture and history. But and many sought to learn from the United States because of the captivating ideals that are at the center of our country, you know, the longest-serving constitution. And in some, I would say that Memorial Day means more than remembering and honoring those who died in military service to the country. It means connecting with this heritage that began with a courageous and faithful group of founders, and they risked everything for the birth of freedom and the establishment of America as a city on a hill. And it's particularly appropriate in these trying times to remember that it was the spirit of forgiveness and reconciliation that renewed America after the divisive period of the Civil War, when the nation suffered its greatest wartime destruction. So Memorial Day, rightly understood, should provide inspiration and in depth to rediscover and restore the ideals that made America great, and we can make it great again by recognizing these things.
Well, and we really can. We have a little bit of time left, and so I'd like you to address the living Constitution. The living Constitution, I feel, has been undercutting these principles of the Constitution. What's your comments on that?
Well, the living Constitution is a fabrication. It is a man. It is a deviation of the original Constitution. And just as when we look to finding the truth in the Bible, we recognize that those words have been the same for centuries and centuries. We don't look to change the truth there. Our Constitution has in it the ability to change and accommodate the changes of society and creating. We have an amendment process, and indeed, you know, we have a lot of amendments. So the Constitution is a living document to the extent that we can accommodate new things and create new laws, like the civil rights laws. But the original Constitution still stands. And remember, we have to remember what the Constitution was designed to do. It was designed to put checks and balances on the corrupting influence of government. So we have the executive, the legislature, and the judiciary, which act as checks and balances. But the founders were wiser than that. They recognized that we need another level of checking. And so we have a federal government, and then we have state governments. And in the very beginning, at the time of the Constitutional Convention, the states had more power than the federal government. And the founders of the Constitution wanted it to remain that way, and that's what the Bill of Rights accomplished. The 10th Amendment in the Bill of Rights says that if the powers are not clearly enumerated, if the federal government's powers are limited to what is clearly enumerated and described, all other powers reside with the states. So I believe that, you know, the states' rights is on the rise now, and I think that we can solve more of our problems. And remember, what else did the founders want to do? They wanted to create a system where you could have experiments. In the early days, there were a few states, you know, 13 states. We've grown to 50 states. What if there were 50 different experiments on running the economy and running the education? And we really let the states do it as they saw fit, we would be able to recognize what systems really work well, because they would shine. They would produce success. And then other states could adopt those same things. In other words, not everyone will get it right, but the states that do get it right, and they might get it right in terms of economics, but not be as good in education, regulation, all these different areas. If you could identify what really enables the American people to flourish, and you can see it in action in a given state, other states don't need to reinvent the wheel. They can just adopt those things, knowing that they'll work.
Well, and that brings up California versus Florida. People, everyday people, vote with their feet. And so California is making poor choices, but yet California, instead of from the federalism, where each state has the freedom to make their own decisions, but they need to be responsible for those decisions, actually California wants everybody else to pay for their bad decisions. And that's not the way it's supposed to happen, Scott Powell.
Absolutely not. So I think we all should really resist that. Why should we bail out failed states? You know, the biggest problem with the socialist approach to life is that there's no measurement of failure. You know, if something isn't working, it's because you didn't spend enough money. You need to just re-up your spending on that. But failure, you know, we know that in the private sector, where you're measuring the success by, you know, in a monetary way, when a company is failing, it goes bankrupt and it ends.
Right.
Or if a division in a big company isn't working, it's not profitable, the corporation cuts it off. It downsizes that division. It eliminates that division because there are measurements. So we need to allow states to fail. If we bail them out, they will not learn. They will not change.
So important, Scott Powell. We are just about to the end of the show. How would you like to button all this up? And again, Scott Powell, he is the author of Rediscovering America, How the National Holidays Tell an Amazing Story About Who We Are. How would you like to button this up?
Well, I think we have to return to the founding principles. The vision that was cast was so large, we oftentimes forget how big it really was. And that vision was for people to be free, to be productive, to be creative, to pursue their dreams. And that is embedded in our Declaration of Independence and in our Constitution. Why would we want to tear this down? It is the longest-running constitution in human history already. And, you know, Ben Franklin was a skeptic coming out of the Constitutional Convention. He said, you know, when someone asks what type of constitution did you create, what kind of country are we going to have, he says, it's a republic if you can keep it. So what we also know is in order for our republic to work, there are certain things that are necessary, and one of them is that we be a moral people. It's our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other, and that's what John Adams said. In Washington's farewell speech, he articulated three things that would bring the downfall to America, and he spoke that we would not, our greatest threat would not be from foreign invasion. It would be from internal. It would come from that people would be ill informed. That they wouldn't understand the issues. And secondly, he said that if we lost our moral foundation, our religious foundation, that would lead to the downfall of the country. And I think we can all see that is happening right before our very eyes. So that's why your work is so important, Kim, because you remind people of that in all of your shows, and I commend you for it.
Well, thank you, Scott Powell. I do greatly appreciate that. And again, that's Scott Powell. Get that book. It is Rediscovering America, How the National Holidays Tell an Amazing Story About Who We Are. We do wish you a very happy Memorial Day and reflect upon those that have died for our freedom. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Stay tuned for hour number two.